Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for April the 7th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our one of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Yesterday, our first guest was Patrick Simmons, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Find out if you live in a right to work state, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, 27 states currently protect rights for workers. They call it worker freedom, if you will. Righttowork.org is the website for that. That is righttowork.org. And we talked to Patrick Simmons and answered a couple of the following questions. Is forced unionism about to become the law of the land? Will big labor kill all 27 right-to-work state laws? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball. But no doubt, Joe Biden and the Democrat crew are going ballistic as they do their very best to force unionism on the rest of us. Big labor's crown jewel legislation is the PRO Act, is what they call it. It's H.R. 824. It already passed the House of Representatives, H.R. 824. Or more appropriately, you could call it the Pro Union Boss Act, is what some are calling it. It's on the fast track. It's a grab bag of big labor's wish list over the last 50 years. It's the worst idea of the last 50 years. If it passes, ladies and gentlemen, all your right-to-work laws will be obliterated in one big legislative massive abuse. Yeah, your right to work will be gone in the blink of an eye, ladies and gentlemen. I kid you not. This is serious. Card check, government-imposed unionism will become the law of the land. Do you want that, folks? I say not. Now listen. Workers will be banned from hearing anything but union propaganda. You speak out against it, they'll literally start to arrest you. This is getting serious indeed, folks. We also talked about the Support the Freedom from Union Violence Act. That's right. So reject the PRO Act, but support the Freedom from Union Violence Act, would you please? What if I have a religious exemption to being affiliated with a union? Doesn't matter. You'd still be stuck in a union. You can divert your dues to a charity, but that's the best you can do to get out of supporting a union right now, ladies and gentlemen, because the laws are already so abusive and in favoritism of the unions as it stands. By the way, we talked about, for the rest of the broadcast, after we let Patrick Simmons fly, we talked about spurred by lockdown. Spain gives four-day work week a try. Experimenting with cutting back one workday a week is literally rolling out across Spain, nationwide in Spain. They say a massive three-day weekend would be delightful because it would really help out the entertainment industry. They say entertainment and tourism is a backbone of the Spanish economy, so that's quite interesting. Four-day work week mandated by the government. Imagine that. I'm against that, but I'm for the four-day work week. I believe a lot of times we could work, 32 to 40 hours. I personally support a 10-hour-a-day, three-day work week. That would be 30 hours of your normal work hours. And then you could flexibly fill in the last 10 to 15 hours of your work, so 40, 45-hour work weeks, but yet you would have flexible time. Most people could alternate days and keep businesses open even 6 days a week this way quite easily. But yet you would be working 3 days a week yourself, three 10-hour days, that's 30 hours, then 10 flex hours, and it would give people really, really a lot of room. Traffic would be less on the streets because people would be out less, driving to work, et cetera, et cetera. People would be working from home. You could keep businesses open 6 days a week. However, it's a great idea, but I would never mandate it by government edict, and that's what they're talking about doing in Spain. So very interesting, to say the least. That was hour one, as we talked about your right to work. Hour two, we talked about dozens of big companies paid zero federal income taxes. A lot of people are complaining, saying they ought to be paying more tax. I disagree. Why don't we just not tax the rest of us? What are you talking about, Sam? We got to have taxes to pay for government. I know, but we don't need the Communist Manifesto income tax backed by abusive IRS agents. What we need is appropriate apportionment taxes and tariffs at the border. And we need to reject IRS and income and property taxes. Those are planks of the Communist Manifesto, folks. So we need to reject unconstitutional taxes and embrace proper role of government, constitutional taxes, to only pay for the legitimate proper role of government and nothing more. They need less money, I'll tell you that right now. We then talked about, Ammon Bundy's situation. Ammon jumped on the radio with us, and he denounces corruption in Idaho. Bottom line is, Ammon Bundy got arrested months ago, back in August. Turns out that he was just peacefully trying to participate in the legislative process. He was at the Capitol building. They basically claimed that he trespassed. It's not true. Ammon Bundy's and Aaron Smith's incredible motion to dismiss was not filed in court, but was shared in public. And believe it or not, the court of public opinion apparently moderated the judge. This is pretty good news, folks. To send this egregious action to what they call mediation. That's interesting. I've never heard of somebody trespassing, a criminal situation, they claim. And then the judge saying, hey, let's send this to mediation by force. Does that mean this is not a legitimate court case? You decide. But mediation, what does Ammon mediate there? Either he committed a crime or he didn't. I don't know what you mediate in this case, but the judge ordering mediation. Does the judge have authority to do that? Does Ammon Bundy have to mediate as opposed to have a jury of his peers, as opposed to having a speedy trial, right? Very interesting. What would you do if you're king or queen for a day? We asked that question because that's really how it is, where the governors just literally, and some of these public officials, are making themselves king. They literally believe they have ownership of your body, that they can demand you go places, not go places, be places, do things, not do things as you wish. I mean, think of the Colorado cake maker. No, he doesn't want to bake a cake for the gays. Fine, doesn't have to. But yet now the transgenders are saying, you got to bake a cake for me. You're going to court again. So much for double jeopardy, right? Well, Ammon Bundy then, hey, can't be in a public place at the Capitol because he's trespassing. They're literally claiming that the government land or the government building, the public building, is owned by public officials, and therefore they can claim it's private property, and they can claim that Ammon Bundy trespassed. This is some of the weirdest cases we've ever seen in our lives. We're talking about mediation. First question I have is, who the heck is the victim? Who is the victim in this mediation circumstance they're calling for in Idaho against Ammon Bundy? Very strange indeed. We defend Ammon Bundy. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. And speaking of that, the good Sheriff Richard Mack with me. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Sam, thank you so much for having me this beautiful Wednesday morning.
What do you think? Are you caught up on the Ammon Bundy story?
I got part of what you said, and I hadn't heard. I know they were trying to charge him with trespass, but it would still be that he has no lawful business being there, no matter who owned it. But besides, I think that's completely bogus. Those public officials do not own those buildings. Those are paid by tax dollars. They did not pay for them. How would they be able to go and get a title to public buildings and courthouses? You know, they can claim that they're in charge of protecting those buildings and in charge of maintenance and blah, 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 and that they were voted in by the public to, and they're in charge of those. You know, so you could still trespass on at a public building. You have no business there. They told you to leave. They're telling you you have no business there, and you still stay after that. You know, that's a debatable trespass, legitimate trespass. But to claim that they own the buildings, that's not going to fly in court. And
let me understand this though. How do you pick and choose individuals if it's a legislative session, if the Capitol's right, open to the public, which it is in the legislative session? How do you just pick right, and choose and say, Ammon, you don't have the right to be here. You're trespassing. We're going against you individually. versus, say, Richard Mack or Sam or somebody else who's there.
Right.
Ammon Bundy there peacefully, not interrupting the proceedings, not doing anything that would be legitimate for concern or for a legitimate complaint and or an eviction. How do you say Ammon trespasses, but the average, you know, lady sitting over there doesn't? You can't have it both ways.
Well, I would like to see what their reasoning was. From what I understand, he refuses to wear a mask, and so they're trying to enforce mask mandates.
And he's saying there's no law, and you can't force me to wear a mask. There is no legislative law in the books to force me to wear a mask.
Which of course, you already know. You and I see eye to eye completely on that. I totally agree with him. You know, I'm so out of it with masks, but I've had it with the mask thing. You know, and I was in a store yesterday, and there was a couple there, young couple, and I said, one of them had a mask, the girl did not, and the guy did. And I said, why do you have a mask and she doesn't? I was just curious. And he goes, oh, I'm just used to it. And she goes, I'm sick of it. And so I goes, oh, well, she's a lot smarter than you are. You know, so anyway, he actually took his off. Yeah, I know. But we were having a good time. And
my response, though, is they both should be able to choose as they feel like they, you know,
exactly.
They feel comfortable.
Well, if you lived in a free country, yes. But anybody trying to enforce that, you already know. I mean, there's always going to be some stupid cops that want to act like Nazis and say, you know, we're just here to enforce whatever Hitler says. And I'm going to be using that this weekend in my tour in Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com. Or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman of the Good Sheriff, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. In the meantime, though, we're talking about the Ammon Bundy case in Idaho. So I don't understand how we look at this, though. How can a public official say, listen, Sam, you can enter. The Capitol is open for business. It is a legislative session, and by law, people have the right to go and witness that session and listen and participate in the proceedings to some degree. Now, I get that you can't disrupt the proceedings, et cetera, but how do you single out an Ammon Bundy and say, you know what, we just don't want you here, sir. You are not welcome. You're trespassing, and these other people aren't. Either you've got to kick everybody out, but then the debate comes into play about legislative sessions. They have the right on specific occasion to go into a closed session. But that's a rarity. And the more they do that, the more it becomes concerning to the people. And so there's kind of a battle here. How does Ammon get singled out? It's like, Ammon, we don't want you there. But, of course, Richard, you're fine to be here. Do they have that right just to pick and choose who attends and who has the right and not, and as if it's their own private property? And that's kind of where the debate comes. And you can say, well, it's over a mask. And Ammon would say, there is no law that I have to wear a mask, and I'm simply not wearing one. And therefore, that's kind of the discussion points. They asked him peacefully. They came over and said,
you'd have to determine if he's the only one not wearing a mask. And
well,
if
it doesn't matter
is,
if he's the only one or not.
Well, yeah, it does, because that's why they're singling him out. You're talking about as if they're just doing it because he's Ammon Bundy. If he's not wearing a mask and everybody else is, he singled himself out in that regard. Now, I'm not arguing mask or efficacy or liking mask. I hate masks. I hate the mandate. I hate anybody trying to enforce it. You know, and just like I said, there's always going to be some stupid cop that's willing to act like a Nazi soldier and do whatever Hitler said. And these guys have been brainwashed and inculcated and trained. You do what government tells you to do. You do what the judge tells you to do. You do what the governor tells you to do. I'm here. They even think, Sam, that it's a moral high ground to enforce.
Yes, they do.
To enforce whatever they are told. And I don't like the laws either. I don't like masks either. I don't want to wear this mask. This is a stupid thing. I don't like masks any more than you do, but we have to do it for the better of society. And so, you know, that's the singling out.
That's their lie. That's their claim. So here's what happened. Then he got arrested. He then, they had some lawsuits. There are several different suits against him or whatever certain details. The bottom line is they don't have him on a mask violation. They have him on a trespassing violation, and they've already dropped some of the cases, but there's some remaining, and now the judge is begging Ammon or forcing Ammon to go to mediation. Is mediation appropriate in a case like this?
Yeah, I think so. I would be curious to know what they think that is.
And what Ammon,
I would really
what
like
Ammon
to
would
it.
Say is, what Ammon would say is, look, you accuse me of trespassing. I submit to you that I'm not trespassing. The mask is a separate issue, which we're not discussing right now, because you filed trespassing.
Right.
And I'm not trespassing if the other people aren't trespassing. And therefore, there's nothing for me to mediate here.
Yeah, I would still be curious to see what it is. It doesn't change anything if he goes to mediation. If he says,
well,
no, this mediation is bogus. He says this is bogus and he walks out.
Does the court have the right to force him to mediation when he has a right
to redress
some grievance?
No, it's voluntary. He says, I'll go to your mediation thing. And he's not bound by anything at mediation.
If
he doesn't like it,
orders him to mediation.
If the court orders mediation, he just says, no, I want to go to trial.
Then but is it voluntary if they order mediation?
Well,
this is the problem that we're having. So you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. We can debate that. He wasn't wearing a mask. I'm sure that caused them problems. He was in there. They didn't want him there. They gave him a trespass. At the same time, now they're saying we want mediation. He's saying, look, there's nothing to mediate, folks. Either I'm guilty of a crime, trespassing, or I'm not. You need to decide, and you need to decide now. If there's no crime, then there's nothing to mediate. If there is a crime, let's talk about going to court to see if the jury of my peers agrees with you or not. And the problem with this whole discussion is that they're doing everything they can to circumvent the normal process, which is a jury of your peers, which is a speedy trial, which is due process of law. Those things aren't being afforded in this manipulated scenario where the judge says, I'm ordering mediation. How do you order mediation?
Yeah, well, I would still go and say, okay, what's your deal here? Are you going to dismiss the entire charges and allow me to go about my business without interfering with me? I have a right to be left alone, and you can't show me a law. So, I mean, he's not compromising anything by going. Yes?
Well, hold on. I think that he is, though. He's saying that judge has the right to force me there.
Well, okay. That was just what I was going to comment about. A judge ordering you to participate in a plea bargain or to even try mediation. But he can still go. He can still go and say, okay, this is over because you're asking me to plead guilty to something, and I'm not going to. But the thing of it is, it seems like you're crossing over a little bit and bleeding over to civil issues, contrary to criminal issues.
Well, and that's Hammond's exact point, is that in civil issues, you can maybe discuss mediation and propose that as an option and all that kind of stuff. But in a criminal case, if he's really guilty of a criminal act, which is trespassing, there's no mediation ordered for criminal situations ever. Why would you go to mediation and incriminate yourself? Or why would you go to mediation and give up points in your supposed trial before a jury of your peers? See, that's the point. This isn't making any sense at this point.
That part is true.
You're right. Stuff.
Well, mediation in criminal is, I think, the judge should have said, I would like you to consider the plea bargain arrangement that the prosecutor has for you. You know, he can't order that.
I'm not pleading to nothing. I've done nothing wrong. Either show me the crime or let me go.
But still, it would help. It would actually help him in his trial to go and see what they're offering. Because one, it could show him that they have nothing. And if they're offering...
The here's the question. These people are so evil. If you can go to a mediation that could be recorded so that you could document the real mediation that took place, then you're probably correct. On the other hand, if they bring you into mediation and it's behind closed doors and you don't get a chance to speak for yourself, and then they spin how media is, and then they force the lockdown of the real truth of what the mediation was, and you have no ability to defend yourself publicly, it might do you significant damage.
No, I disagree. All he has to do, he doesn't have to say anything. He can still plead the fifth. He can say, what is this for? What is this meeting for? Well, we just want this whole thing to go away. Okay, what are you offering? If you are dismissing the charges and want me to agree to wear a mask when I come here, then you have no deal. If you're dropping everything, that's fine. But, you know, I don't see how that's going to hurt him in any way. In fact, it will literally show him how scared they are to go to the case, to go to court, to take it to a jury. He loses none of his opportunities. He loses none of his rights. And, it would just be a curiosity thing to go and see.
Here's what I know. Jerome Corsi didn't go to a lot of those talks, and he's free. And Roger Stone went to a lot of those discussions, and he's in serious trouble. So all I know is this, they can spin things certain ways, and you know what? Why go to something? Sure. Either the judge has the authority to mandate a mediation or he doesn't.
Answer
that for me.
He doesn't.
All right, if he doesn't, then I wouldn't go to one.
Either way, I would do it only out of curiosity. It's not going to hurt.
Yeah, what I would say is if you guys want to mediate this thing, why don't we mediate it in public? You know what? I'll rent a conference room at a hotel, or I'll rent some venue, and you know what? We'll have a public mediation.
Yeah.
You guys arrested me in public for trespassing. I say it's bogus. This is all about transparency.
That's a good idea.
I want a jury of my peers, and you're not giving me one, so we'll make one by this public mediation.
No, and they're not denying him.
Let's let the public
that.
Learn about this.
No. They're not denying him a jury. A mediation has nothing to do with it. It's just a plea bargain arrangement, and you're right about that. The judge has no authority to mandate it, and that's where he could be filing a court order right there. He could be filing a writ. What's the word I want to say? Anyway, he could be filing an objection to that.
Anyway, very interesting is all I can say. Quick pause. Stay right there, Sheriff, because I want to compare this to the illegal alien discussion. Ammon Bundy and the American people are always in serious hot water, but yet illegals running around free, backed by your government dollars. Quick pause. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Biden on Tuesday moved up the COVID-19 vaccine eligibility target for all American adults 18 plus to April 19th. That's less than 2 weeks away. Former Major League Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent came out firing shots at Rob Manfred after he made the decision to move the All-Star Game out of Georgia. Dissatisfaction to voting laws that strengthen the system's integrity was the reason given. Vincent said Manfred made a decision without first protesting the substance of the law. He added that Manfred made a serious mistake. Brazil confirmed more than 4,000 COVID-19 deaths in a 24-hour period for the first time on Tuesday, overwhelming the country's health system. Here in America, the CDC is reporting nearly 80% of school teachers, school staff, and child care workers have received at least one dose of the coronavirus vaccine. On the downside, Michigan now leads the nation in new COVID cases. This is USA Radio News.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
As new laws to protect the integrity of American elections moves forward, some in corporate America take offense. Showing an ID to vote has the president of the United States calling it Jim Crow laws. Jim Crow laws were state and local laws that enforced racial segregation, none of which can be found in the new Georgia voting laws. As the movement moves into Texas, corporate resistance is met with admittance they never read the laws before making knee-jerk reactions. Tim Burke from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau has more.
Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is criticizing a major North Texas business raising complaints about two election bills in the legislature.
Is that okay with you, Mr. American Airlines? I can name other companies, but American Airlines seems like leading the charge on these types of issues.
Patrick saying the Fort Worth-based American Airlines officials warned his office they'd oppose the bill, but the government liaison admitted to not reading the bill.
Thank you for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
All right, Richard Mack with me, ladies and gentlemen. CSPOA.org. So Sheriff Ammon Bundy's statements are simple on this. Did I trespass? Yes or no? If I did, let's discuss it. If I didn't, I'm free to go. When it comes to the arrest, I was illegally put in jail because they don't have a right to claim that I'm trespassing. The proof in the pudding that he's correct is they've dismissed a couple of the cases, and now they're trying to mediate the other ones to somehow get him to cop a plea bargain in some way. And his response is, look, I just want a jury of my peers if I'm guilty of something. And if I'm not guilty of anything, then I want to be free to go. Take your pick. Either I trespassed or I did not. And either the judge has authority to mediate and force me to do so, or he does not. Which is it? Answer quickly, please. Fair statements, right?
Yeah, all fair. All totally. In fact, that probably should have happened.
Yeah. The fact is, they're not doing it, and it's a big old hoopla, and it's taken months and months. And
did Ammon challenge that? You know, did he say,
oh, yeah.
Are you requiring me to go to mediation on a criminal matter?
Well, he's trying to figure that out now, but the court ordered it. The court ordered it. Yes.
He should be challenging that now. Then he should be filing a motion. He should be. That's the one I wanted. He should be filing a motion before the court.
Oh, he's working on it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Because that's
he's been filing motions back and forth for literally 8 months on the speedy trial. You know what I'm talking about? This is what I mean, and this is why I'm taking his side on this. Because look, the government. The problem that I'm having with the government on this is, let's just be clear. Does the judge have authority to mandate mediation by court order? Yes or no? If he doesn't,
no.
Then the judge needs to be put up on criminal charges.
Well, I don't know if it's a crime if you make a mistake in court, but, you know.
Well,
but,
hold on now. If you're a judge and you're ordering someone to go to something that you don't have authority to order them to do so, you either need to retract it immediately or be accountable for it. Take your pick.
Well, being accountable doesn't mean just that it's a crime. Because, you know, he could, you know, he's not intentionally committing a crime necessarily, but the judge seems to be grasping at straws and doesn't seem to really know what he's doing. But I don't think it rises to the level of a crime. He can be sanctioned, or he can, you know, just, oh, well, whoops, made a mistake here. You know, I recommend that
that. How long can he take before we say it's a mistake versus somehow he's obstructing the law and violating Ammon's right to a speedy trial and to a jury of his peers? At what point do you say it doesn't really rise to this level. He's a good dude grasping at straws. The poor guy's confused. The judge is an ignorant.
Yeah. I don't know what you would charge him with. What would you charge him with? You know.
Well, first off, ignorance of the law is no excuse, and so if you're malfeasance, mandating it could be, someone,
well, I'm thinking out loud. It could be malfeasance, but
sure.
But Ammon should have brought that up. You know, right then and there. You know, but I admit.
Well, when you say right then and there. Hold on. Yeah. They've been filing these motions back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and out of several different scenarios, they've already dismissed a bunch of it. Ammon's been in discovery to force the proof that they don't have authority. This is where Ammon understands that they now claim it's their property, where they now, okay, all these things are being discovered along the way, and the judges are backtracking, and the attorneys and the cops and everybody else are backtracking, and Ammon continues to discover more information and ask serious allegative-type questions. They keep sidestepping and avoiding it, and the speedy trial just continues to be elusive.
His motion should have just been then, I'm pleading not guilty, let's have trial. Hello, let's go.
So he did, and he put a public motion to dismiss, and he basically, instead of submitting it to the judge, he put it to the public. And the judge is already backed off and scrambling and now begging for mediation.
this is what I'm talking about.
It's just like I've never heard this kind of stuff before. But the judges are literally getting their heads handed to them.
They're trying their very best to get rid of this and to get rid of him and save face at
Why don't they quit being criminals? Why don't they quit being criminals, and why don't they uphold the law and either dismiss it or prove the charges and have a speedy trial?
Yeah, they got to
save face. Saving face. We're interested in the law.
Well, I know that, but I'm just telling you they're doing.
And here's what's going to happen. You're right. I completely agree. But here's what's going to happen, Sheriff. If judges continue to save face when they're involved in criminal activity, like illegally arresting people, illegally throwing people in jail, dragging this on for months and months and months and months and months, denying people speedy trials, denying people the right to a redress of grievance, denying people the right to a jury of their peers. At some point, if they continue to save face on case after case after case after case, look, Ammon's already served 2 years in prison for nothing. Okay?
Yeah.
If they keep this up, eventually what they're going to do is destroy the whole court system to where there will be no law. They'll just be thugs and out-of-control bureaucrats and cops and judges and who knows where else, to where we'll just absolutely lose complete faith in the whole system. Is that what they want? Because that's what they're going to get if they keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much nationwide what's going on. That's why we're so busy at CSPOA, you know.
don't you agree that if this keeps up, though, at some point, the American people are just going to lose faith in the whole court system? We've already lost faith in Congress.
You think we haven't already? Man, I have. Yeah.
I think there's some justice in courts on occasion, and I think there's still a lot of good people and a lot of good things happening, and there's still the rule of law in America. It's not completely destroyed, but it's working on it.
Yeah, true.
Because if there's no accountability at the legislative branch, and there's zero, in other words, nothing to hope for, there's zero accountability at the judicial branch, nothing, zero to hope for, and we know that the presidency was already a stolen election, if you believe that scenario, then you might as well just say, hey, we're ready for revolution, right? And I say we're not there yet.
Yeah, well,
I hope we never get there.
I'm hoping that we can prevent it. I'll tell you what, though, the telltale issue on that will be how far the feds try to take this ridiculous gun control proposals they're
You're right. But whether it be gun control or denying people their rights, for example, you got Ken Cromer being abused by the IRS. He's got them on the run. They're scrambling and delaying the cases and refusing to produce information for Ken Cromer. You got Ammon Bundy where they're running from him now. You've got this situation of gun control where, hey, the president, oh, it doesn't rise to the level of criminal activity for the president to deny your guns. And, you know, where do we go when they always say, hey, it never, they're never criminals no matter what they do. Of course, they can put you behind bars for 2 years without a speedy trial of your peers, a speedy trial, a jury of your peers. You can go to jail for 2 years, but, hey, they're not really criminals. There's no accountability there. It doesn't rise to the level of anything. See, and we could just go down this road to where I'm telling you, at some point.
Yeah, I believe it is criminal in some situations, but my point about the judge, though, I don't believe was a crime. Yeah, you know,
what can the judge do without committing a crime?
You could maybe get to malfeasance, but you'd have to still prove that that was intentional and he intended to deny Ammon his rights, and I don't think
how are you gonna
I think
prove
he's
that
floundering.
If they won't let you subpoena how can you prove that if they won't let you subpoena any documents and gather the evidence necessary?
Well, yeah, true.
You can't prove fraud if you can't get the docs either.
Right. Which now is happening in Maricopa County, which that's going to be a telltale sign for the election, but I think they've had too much time to, you know, get rid of evidence and change
criminal
evidence
activity?
And alter evidence. And, yeah, more criminal activity. There's no question. Yeah,
of course,
any of that.
You can't prove it there,
yeah. Yeah, hopefully, I don't know how to audit those machines, and I don't know what they're going to show and what they're not going to show, but if they can show any, covering of evidence and exculpatory evidence, if they can show any of that in this audit that's coming up, they're still arguing about where they can even do the recount.
All right, so listen up. Here's the comparison. So we talked about Ammon Bundy quite a bit because he kind of represents the average American who really cares about their country and wants to get involved. Most folks don't have the guts to trod the ground that Ammon Bundy does. In other words, most
that's
people
a real
leave
true. That's
for,
absolutely true. Yeah.
For fear
most
of getting arrested, et cetera.
Yeah, most people would have just paid the fine or whatever and got out of there.
So he's
right
a
now,
trendsetter, but. And I commend him for his stance. But here's the comparison for your consideration. You ready?
Yeah.
Is if the illegal immigrant crisis is not bad enough, homeless Americans have now been booted from a temporary homeless shelter in Southern California to make way, to make room for the illegal aliens. Dozens of them are COVID-19 positive. So now you got a homeless shelter in California, a temporary homeless shelter, and you've got the homeless people being kicked out to make room for the illegals who all have the cocoa, and Judicial Watch exposed this scandal.
Well, is anybody surprised?
We're not surprised, but again, it probably doesn't rise to the level of criminal activity or anything, right?
I don't know.
You got to prove
you know,
I'm
to
a
tell
bad
you,
guy crossing the border, don't you?
Well, to tell no, I'm just looking at telling you as a homeless person, you can't stay here tonight because we've got to make room for
that's
other
correct,
people.
But the illegal can roll in with COVID, no problem.
Yeah. Well, we could talk about those ridiculous mandates till the sun doesn't shine. I don't. You know,
but there's
I don't
no
know.
Criminal activity to, there.
Maybe so. I don't know. But like I say, if it's just kicking somebody out of a room, I don't know.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live, Richard Mack and Sam Bushman on your radio. We've gone into a crazy world turned upside down, haven't we, folks?
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sam Bushman and the good Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio. So, Sheriff, I don't mean to be so cynical, but I look at an Ammon Bundy who served in prison for literally 2 years and he's guilty of nothing. His attorney gets tased in court. The government literally guilty of all kinds of criminal activity, withholding exculpatory evidence and everything else. Now right. A scenario where basically they say he's trespassing, and by golly, he's not really trespassing, but they said he was, and now they're trying to scramble, and the judge is trying to say, let's go to mediation, and all these kind of weird contortions out of these people. I look at a Ken Cromar who's being abused by the IRS. He already lost his home. He's homeless, but now he's battling with them, and they are withholding information from him, et cetera, et cetera. And I look at case after case after case and situation after situation across this country, and I say, look, government officials and bureaucrats and professional do-gooders are above the law, and because they're above the law, they're going to absolutely destroy faith in the whole system. And I pray this doesn't happen, but I see the writing on the wall. If you continue to abuse the system from that high level, when will it end?
The IRS has been doing that for decades. And the American people just, you got to pay your taxes, you got to pay your fair share. The brainwashing and the entire corruption is what we're talking about. The corruption within government is the ultimate problem here. And
I agree. And the question is, will it reach critical mass to the point where we just absolutely destroy the whole system? Or will it just continue on and become more abusive and more abusive over time? What'll happen?
Well, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish such tyranny. And yes, we've never really defined what that looks like in keeping it peaceful. We've never defined that, ever. Well, not you, not me.
This is why I pushed...
No.
Yeah, this is why I push so hard on the criminal activity discussion for bureaucrats and professional do-gooders that are above the law. Because if we don't define it eventually, if things get worse and worse and worse and worse, people will push back, will get violent, will push for a government overthrow. And to some degree, I can't argue they'll be somewhat justified in doing so. I am hoping to have an intelligent conversation and put together proposals to change the game before that happens. And that's why I say, if we were to basically say to this judge, we're going to hand your hat to you on this one. Sir, you can't do that. You can't say Ammon Bundy's trespassing when he's not. You can't scramble because you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar being abusive to Ammon Bundy, and now you don't want accountability for it. You don't want it to be exposed. You can't. If you continue to do this, at some point, there needs to be ways that we can create a redress of grievance and accountability for these people. If we don't, eventually we lose the opportunity for a peaceful solution at some point. And I don't know when that is. And I'm doing my very best to bring this all up to say, let's define this a little bit and let's do our best to find ways that are peaceful before it gets beyond that discussion.
Well, one of them would be my suggestion that I've made several times, and that is that there must be a criminal investigation conducted when a public official violates his oath of office, and that is perjury. And that would be a lot worse than trespass charge. But hopefully.
For sure.
But that needs to be, but again, that still needs to be defined. How do we define when that happens? And so if Ammon could say, yes, he's intentionally, I want a criminal investigation by the sheriff, the judge is intentionally trying to manipulate the system to deny me my right to a public and speedy jury trial. And that could be legitimate. But if the judge is just still trying to find a way to get this resolved and get rid of Ammon and still save face, because it sounds like that's exactly what he's trying to do, and that's what he wants. And so he's hoping that the mediation would get Ammon to say, okay, yeah, I'll plead guilty to a lesser charge, or this could even happen. I'll plead guilty, and then if I don't have any other arrests or problems or violations for a year, then the whole thing is squashed. I don't pay anything. I don't pay any fines. I don't have anything on my record. The whole thing is dismissed. That is still a possibility, and I think that's probably what the prosecutor would take that, and then Ammon would have to promise not to trespass again or whatever, you know, kind of thing.
And here's what Ammon would say.
Yeah,
here's what Ammon would say. Since I didn't trespass in the first place, why would I ever agree to such a foolish notion?
I know.
Why would I ever lie?
So
why would I ever lie and say I'm guilty of something that I'm not guilty of? Either prove my guilt or let me go.
Yeah. True. So.
Anyway, I agree with every point you're making in the sense that I understand that it is the way it is. I understand that you're going to foul the law when bureaucrats get on a bender for power. I agree with it. You know, I understand your side. I understand Ammon's side. All I'm saying is at some point, the government bureaucrats who are trying to cover things up and hold on to power and the patriots who are sick of it, at some point there will be unpleasant results if we don't find ways forward that are peaceful and ways forward that hold government bureaucrats accountable for abusing their power. At some point, this will boil over. And my whole reason for pushing so hard and bringing this up is that I want to find a way to not have it boil over, to not have it get out of control like that. And so even though it sounds like I'm kind of not satisfied and pushing hard, I'm really doing this in an effort to say how can we get it peaceful? If we don't, at some point, it will not go well.
No, and I've asked that same question for a long time, you know, and I've told people, if we continue to frustrate people and they have the people that are being abused and they have no place to turn, I mean, that's right in my books. If the people have no place to turn to someone in public office to defend them from the corruption of local government or state or federal, doesn't matter. If there's nobody to turn to, that frustration is going to boil over and it's going to become violent. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry to see this going on. But what the IRS has done to people for decades is the epitome of that frustration. And people have committed suicide over it. People have gone to prison for almost their entire lives over this sort of thing. And the IRS is so smug about it, and then local officials, like your sheriff, very smug about it. You know, hey, that's a, you know, I have to pay my taxes too, and you know, I've been audited and I've been abused by the IRS too. You know, and so I don't have to do anything about it then. You know, and so sheriffs are intimidated by the IRS just like everybody else. That's where the IRS has their power and makes their money, and nobody's ever going to do anything about it. So that's why I agree that sooner or later this is going to get violent, and the American people are going to rise up in righteous indignation with their gun in their hand. And they keep pushing the envelope on this, and it's going to happen sometime unless the people finally have recourse and someone that will interpose on their behalf.
Now, they've already started to restrict ammo to the point where you can't get ammo, and if they really have their way and they push these Democrats, so led by Joe Biden and crew, if they literally push and deny you your guns or make that more difficult, the question becomes, the Founding Fathers were really, 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 really patient until they came for the guns. And then the founders said, well, if we don't draw a line in the sand now, we'll never be able to, you know. And so are we almost to that point, too?
Well, it kind of seems like it.
I don't want us to be there, though.
I hope not, too.
Yes.
I hope not. But the gun thing might just be the straw that breaks the camel back. But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to get through. It's just too, first of all, it's too crazy and unlawful for them to think
so
they can do that
stop in the Senate?
Out of executive order. They can't do it on executive order, and they know they can't. Or maybe they can because, hey, we make everybody wear a mask on executive order, so why not? So I just don't think they can nullify the Second Amendment by executive order.
Well, and the question becomes, will they overreach too far? And when they do overreach too far, if they do, how, you know, what will we do to stop the overreach? You know, can we have a peaceful way to prosecute some of these, you know, bureaucrats? And sometimes many of them are appointed officials, not even elected officials. The elected officials are pretty adept at making sure that appointed folks do the dirty work kind of a thing, et cetera. So it becomes a jurisdictional nightmare, et cetera. But the point is, if they overreach, are we going to be able to find peaceful ways to deal with this?
Yeah.
That's really my hope, and I'm just not sure what steps to take. I don't know who can step up. Everybody's afraid. Even those who, like the sheriffs, as you mentioned, are afraid. Even those who we had hoped would help us or we could go to are saying,
well, I think,
not
I
me.
I think you'll see a unification of sheriffs if the gun control thing happens. I think you'll see a unification of sheriffs that we've never seen before in this country. But I still, you know, that might be kicking the Utah sheriffs back into high gear, but I really worry. That's one state I really worry about. The sheriffs of Utah. Where are they? What are they doing? You know, they're hiding from us, and you have to ask, what are they afraid of? What is it that the sheriffs of this country who refuse to keep their oaths of office, what are they afraid of?
Sheriff. Let me just explain to you that my pension is about 3 years away, and you, my friend, are about to screw that up.
Yeah, pensions are part of it, no question. But these guys already have their, some of them already have their pensions safe and secure. I mean, okay, so I have a 25-year pension or I have a 27-year pension. I mean, big deal. You know, so now if it's a younger guy, you know, who has 7 or 8, 9, 10 years in, 11, and, he, you know, he needs 8 more years or something like that. I can see them really worried about that. But at the same time, you can't be worried about your personal pension and not be worried about and sacrificing liberty for your own pension. That's the part that really gets me mad at these sheriffs. They're willing to sacrifice American liberty of the people that they work for, that they gave a promise to, for their to make sure that they stay in, and there's no guarantee that they're going to stay in, and especially if they don't stand for liberty and interposition for their people, that might cost them the election. You know, but most of the time the sheriffs want this though. They don't want to cause any waves, and they want to do as little as they can, especially in the public eye with as little publicity as they can get. Most of that, and that's most politicians. They just want to bide their time and not be in the forefront of any issue whatsoever. And then people go, oh, well, I haven't heard much about them. Yeah, let's go ahead and vote for him again. You know, he's done a good job, you know. But you make any waves, like suing the federal government, that definitely will come back to haunt you. And Sam, I will tell you, and the good, pretty little blonde girl can tell you, when I told her I intended to sue the federal government, I told her right then and there when I got back from that meeting that this would cost us our retirement, our job, and career. And it sure did. And I'll say this, the retirement be damned, and let's do what we're supposed to.
And good for you for doing it. And if we had enough Americans stand up like the good sheriff has done, ladies and gentlemen, we probably wouldn't be at this crossroads crisis like we are now. And so I encourage everyone to stand up and be counted and tell the tale of liberty. Do what is right when good men do nothing, evil prospers. So to shut down evil, good men and women need to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. And that's what the sheriff's work, the CSPOA, CSPOA.org, is all about. And that's what Liberty Roundtable is all about. For Sam and Richard Mack, God save the Republic of the United States of America.